We read from Matthew's Gospel, the 5th chapter, beginning at verse 27, these words. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. This is the word of the living God. Beloved in the Lord, we come now to the commandment that speaks of sexual purity. You shall not commit adultery. It should not surprise us to see the effects of the fall and sin that we find in the area of the marriage bond and in the area of human sexuality. Marriage in many places is no longer sacred. No body is undefiled, no temple undesecrated. Life has become polluted by sin. Everything is shattered. But to this, Jesus comes in Matthew's gospel, and he speaks the word of God. He speaks about the law of God. And he reminds Israel through these words, I tell you, well, he says, beginning at verse 27, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who has looked lustfully at a woman has already committed adultery in his heart. Jesus comes to the place of restoring the law of God. Remember, the Pharisees had covered up the law with the garbage of their own interpretations. Jesus removes their tarnish and stain, and he brings out the force of the law of God. And in this passage, he speaks of the sanctity of sexual relationships, and he guards it with the teaching of the word of God. And he focuses on faithfulness and purity. He begins by saying, you have heard that it was said. He reminds them of the words of Moses and the words of God. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. And the Pharisees had confined adultery to the overt act. It pretty much meant, simply, don't get caught. You were either an adulterer or not. If you were caught, you died. But it really didn't address the things of the heart. But Jesus speaks to the things of the heart. Notice he says, if you have looked lustfully at a woman, you've already committed adultery in your heart. He speaks of God's law and he applies it to our hearts so that we might keep covenant, that we might keep faith, so that we might guard the relationship that we have with another. And he guards marriage and he guards sexuality because they are contracted and conducted and concluded only under God's law, because God's law is over all things, over every area of life. And that infuriates the humanist. That infuriates the unbeliever. It infuriates, of course, the Pharisees. They misread Scripture. The humanist wants a moral relativism that dissolves God's law and reduces relationships to things that are relative and things that can easily be broken. So we have today humanism that has become pretty much the religion of our world. Easy divorces, personal relationships exist as long as we want them to exist. Sex for fun, that's what we see as we turn on the television, that's what we see in the news, that's what we see all around us. Humanism has taken what God has forbidden and elevated it to something that you can do no matter what. It violates the covenant that God has established in marriage, and adultery now is something that is so common that it's almost unbelievable that we would see so much emphasis upon it. In fact, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the many television programs that are on, And as you go, you flip through the channels, and you go through the channels, and you see, oh, here's a program, and all it's about is what? It's all about sexual relationships, all about immoral relationships. Nothing anymore on television or in our society looks at the relationship that God has established and looks at it in terms of the covenant that God has established for us. Adultery has become so common that it's accepted almost everywhere. It's an assault upon God because it is against God's law. And we see that in many ways. We see it all the way on up to the highest leaders of our land. One is on trial right now. One was on trial some years ago. And as the former President Clinton said one time, that this was an inappropriate relationship, but he said, basically, why don't you just get out of my business? And nobody cares about it. It's on the television. It's about all of these people. They do it all the time. And the society in which we live has moved away from the seventh commandment, but Jesus is moving in a different direction. Jesus is moving in the direction of what God has said. And although he says, you have heard that it was said, but I say to you, he's not replacing the law. He is emphasizing the law. He is applying the law. He is going to take the law of God, and he is going to apply it to the hearts and the lives of the people. And our modern culture will laugh at what Jesus has to say. And it laughs at faithfulness. It exalts joy and pleasure. Every television program that exalts a moral, immoral lifestyle is something that gains in its audience rather than loses. All of the things that we see in our society are about immorality. And as Christians, we should speak to that issue. We should speak God's word to that issue. We shouldn't just accept it. It shouldn't just be another program on TV. It should be something that we say is wrong because God has said that it's wrong. But our culture says it's okay. Our culture endorses what God forbids. It endorses a homosexual lifestyle. It endorses sexual liberty. It even endorses prostitution and pornography. I don't even know how many immoral things there are on the internet, but I would imagine that there would be at least 100 million websites on the internet that are all about pornography. And our culture has accepted this. Our culture accepts extramarital activity, premarital activity, and it allows these things because it doesn't want to hear what God has said. But what God has said and what his law has declared is that marriage partners are to be faithful. Faithful to the covenant-keeping God, covenant-keeping word of the living God. And so as we look at what Jesus has to say in this passage and what he says as he states it, I say unto you, he is speaking to a depraved and indecent and a lewd society, a society that hates what God has given. And what does he say as he says, I say to you? He says, if a person looks at a woman lustfully, and the word actually is in the present participle, that means it's a continuing action. In other words, it means staring at the person. And it's a lust that arises in the heart. And it's the thought and the desire of the heart that is condemned. And Jesus condemns the sinfulness of sin. It's an unpleasant teaching. It's an unpleasant doctrine. People dislike this idea. They don't want to hear it preached. They would explain it away with psychological terms. How many times haven't you heard, well, we're all influenced by our environment? Or This is how we were made. We just have to deal with it. And the one that I've heard many times, and I'm sure you've heard it as well, well, as long as no one is hurt, how can you look at breaking a relationship and say, as long as no one is hurt? Someone is always hurt by sin. Sin is destructive, but no one takes it seriously. No one really considers it wrong anymore or sinful to be involved in these things, except God. God condemns the sin. And that's why Jesus says, but I say to you, if you lust after this person, you have committed adultery in your heart, in your thoughts, in your mind. This lust, it awakens a sinful desire, and the person lusts for that and sins against the Lord. What is Jesus asking you and me to do? He is asking us to be faithful and pure in our thoughts. There are people who would never dream of actually going out and committing an act of adultery, but they may be sinning in their mind and in their imagination. That ought to remind us of the subtlety of sin, how easily we are fooled. It comes through our thoughts and in our hearts, and we forget how deeply sin is rooted in our hearts, and it is the heart of which Jesus speaks. We can try to explain away our failures. We're weak. We were born this way. We have a nature that leads us this way. We try to excuse our sin, but Jesus doesn't excuse it. He condemns it. And he says, you have sinned. This is what he demands from us, that we avoid it, that we walk away from it. In fact, in this passage, as he goes on, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. Get rid of these things. What does he mean? He's talking here about not doing things, not even going near things. The eye is the instrument of lustful desire. It facilitates the ability to look at and to lust. And Jesus reminds us that thoughts and desires are adulterous and sinful. We have not had the chance to let our bodies take part in it, but the mind is engaged in it. We have lusted in our minds and in our hearts. And he says it needs to be governed so as not to lead into sin. What does that mean? It means what the old preachers used to talk about. It means mortification. That's one of those words you don't hear too often. But that means to drastically avoid all of these measures. Hate it. Crush it. Dig it out. Self-mutilation is not sanctifying. What he's saying is simply don't look. Mortify. Put to death your evil lusts. That's an unwelcome and it's a painful task. But the simple truth is that nothing is worth keeping if it causes us to sin. And Jesus wants us to do what Scripture teaches. In fact, he tells us in another place, if anyone will follow me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why this passage speaks of mortification, the mortification of sin, the putting to death of our evil lusts. It's an unwelcome task. It's a painful work. It's a necessary work, but it's a work that must be done because we must deal with sin so that it does not encompass our hearts and draw us away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones was a great preacher in England some years ago. He died, I believe, in about 1982. Wrote many good a number of many good books. And one of the things he mentioned about this is something I'd like to conclude with. He said, if we can conceivably be satisfied with our lives because we have never committed an act of adultery or of murder or any one of these things, I say that we do not know ourselves, and we don't know the blackness and the foulness of our own hearts. We must listen to the teaching of the blessed Son of God and examine ourselves, examine our thoughts, our desires, and our imaginations. And unless we feel that we are vile and foul and we need to be washed and cleansed, unless we feel utterly helpless with a terrible poverty of spirit, unless we are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, I say, God have mercy upon us. But then he says, thank and praise God that we have a gospel which tells us that another who is spotless and pure and holy has taken away our sin, and he has washed us in his precious blood. We have a new heart. It is the gift of sovereign grace through God's gracious and everlasting gospel alone. We are saved. I think Dr. Lloyd-Jones hit the nail on the head. We thank God for his gospel of grace. And if that gospel of grace is speaking to you about things that need to be put out of your life, mortified, do it today. If God is speaking to you about changing your visual habits or breaking off a relationship that should end, then do it today. Because by the power of the gospel and the gospel alone, you have the ability to obey the Lord and to walk by grace in his love and know the blessing that comes from Christ, the one who died for us. Amen.